Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India. What practices can you recommend to use in daily life to stay rooted in, capital B, being? Well, similar to what we were just talking about, being is just another way of describing that stillness. And when we capitalize it, it's another way of describing that presence. Because my soul, my spirit, my being, my presence, my energy, and again, these are different words, same concept. I'm throwing out all of the words because in our different cultures and different lineages, we may have heard different words, or different words may be the ones that we connect with. But it's important to remember they're all describing the same experience. So in order to experience that, well, the very first practice I have to do is to get still enough to experience it. And this is where we bring in the practices I mentioned, whether it's meditation, chanting, prayer, service, asana. And of course, an ideal spiritual path would encompass lots of these. It's not one or the other. I have a practice of all of them. Most of us have a practice of all of them. Maybe not necessarily all of them every single day, but ultimately a practice that includes all of the elements. They all give us another doorway in. Some days you find one doorway feels a little bit closed to get in. You push against that particular doorway for a while and you're not getting in the way that you'd like. Okay, you try a different one. There may be days you wake up and the meditation doesn't feel like it's happening properly, or the yoga asanas don't feel like it's happening properly, or the service doesn't feel like it's flowing properly. And you say, all right, how else can I get into this door today? So we have a lot of different ways to get into that flowing river. But other practices are also really important in terms of our life off the meditation cushion, our life off the yoga mat, our life in our families, in our workplaces, in our moving through the world. It's very easy to think about my time on my mat, on my cushion, in my temple, sitting at the feet of my guru, as my spiritual time, my practice time. But if really my goal is to live as much in that state of being as possible, then I have to take something away with me from that experience. I know the urge is very much, and I have it as well, is very much to just be a sponge and soak up as much as you possibly can in those moments. You know, does Aarti ever really have to end? And that's a beautiful feeling, and it is beautiful to just be a sponge and to soak up as much as we possibly can. But ultimately, the goal is, how can that which I've soaked up in my sponge quench my thirst the rest of the time. That I've soaked up this juice in such a way that as I move through the rest of the hours of my day, I'm still able to keep drinking from it. So it's not I soak it up while I'm here, while I'm on the mat, while I'm in that place, while I'm doing my chanting. And then the minute I stand, it's, you know, my sponge is dry, my throat is dry, everything's dry, and I'm just waiting to get back on the mat. How can that which I've soaked up keep nourishing me? And that's the practice that we bring into our daily lives. I mean, Pooja Swamiji speaks about it so beautifully when he says, you know, okay, we have this multivitamin, and we have our meditation, and then we have our no reaction, which is how we move through the world, which of course is a broad concept, basically that means I'm the creator. I'm the creator of my own experience. Most of us react. We're like light bulbs. You know, somebody switches us on and off, we go on and off. But no reaction, it's bigger than just this person hit me, I didn't hit him back. Yes, of course, it's a first step, an important first step. But it's not the end. That person insulted me, I didn't insult them back. Again, important first step. But not the highest of where he's going. The no reaction really means I'm in control. I'm not in control of what happens around me. But I'm absolutely in control of my destiny. I'm in control of where I'm going. Because where I'm going is based on what happens inside me. You know, I always say our thoughts are tickets. If you walk into an airport or a bus station or a train station and you say, I want a ticket. Well, what's the first thing they're going to ask you? Where to? Right? Where to? No matter how nice the person behind the counter is, they cannot give you a ticket if you don't know where you're going. None of us, whatever, at a train station, have a counter person say, well, you know, there's this beautiful train. Very cush, there's a great food compartment. Great train, I can get you a first class seat, do you want it? Well, so then we'd say, well, where's it going? And then if again they said, only $10, cheapest first class seat available, do you want it? Well, again, until we knew where it was going, no matter how cushy it may sound, no matter what a great deal it may sound like, very few of us would say, oh yeah, all right, sure. But what happens in our lives is a thought begins, reaction begins, and we never say to ourselves, where's this going? What's the destination of this thought? It's entered here. It's a tiny, tiny, tiny little flicker of a thought. And we never look at it and say, where's this going? And then we sit on it, and 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 we sit on it. And then we find ourselves in destination despair, destination depression, destination misery, destination divorce, I mean, whatever it may be for us. And we wonder, why is the universe against me? How did this happen? Without going back and realizing, oh wait, I got on that train. It looked good at the time. All my friends were on the train at the time, you know. Everybody was talking about it like that. Everybody was reacting like that. Everybody was gossiping. Everybody was... I got on the train. So our thoughts really are tickets of where we want to end up. And so when we talk about no reaction, when Pooja Swamiji says you begin with meditation and then you move into no reaction, It's not just I didn't hit back, I didn't insult back. It's throughout my day, every word, every action, and every thought was one that I had or performed or did with an awareness of what that destination was. Now, I don't mean destination of physical actions. We have no control over that. I write a report, I submit it in. Is it going to be accepted, rejected, criticized, loved? That's out of my hands. This is when Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita talks about, you know, not being attached to the fruit of our actions. We do the best we can. We don't know how the universe is going to react. But what I'm talking about in terms of the result is the result in my own mind. What is the result in my own mind? Have I bought myself a ticket to joy, peace, compassion, understanding? Or have I bought myself a ticket to depression and despair and confusion and competition and jealousy? Because that's not something somebody else does. Somebody else grades our reports in school, in the office place, passes us, fails us, praises us, criticizes us. That is in someone else's hands. Someone else makes the stock market go up and down. Somebody else makes it rain or sunshine. Again, not in our hands. But where I end up in my mind, that's in our hands. So this is something we literally can do every minute of every day. To experience, you know, as the going back to the question of that capital B being. Well, if I'm being done by the world, if literally you're flipping me and I'm going on and off, you say something that feels good, I'm on, I'm happy, I love what you said, I love you, I love myself, I love the moment. You say something that doesn't feel good, I hate you, I hate myself, I hate the moment. Well, I'm literally being done by the world. That's not the capital B being. The capital B being is that which happens when I'm able to literally connect with that beingness within myself, which isn't switched on or off or pulled or pushed or done by or done to anyone else. But it's a practice. And it begins with that which we do on the mat, on the cushion. And then it moves into our lives. And just lastly on this, it's important to realize, just like in meditation, you sit down, you've got a mantra or you've got your breath or you've got a meditation technique, and you do it for a while. And then you find, you know, you've ended up at the neighbor's house in your mind, or you've ended up back in fourth grade in your mind, or you've ended up at your parents' house in your mind, or you've, who knows where you've ended up. And you just bring it back. You don't take out a knife and kill yourself. You don't give up meditation. You just bring the mind back. And in the same way, you're going to lose it. You're going to have it, and then you're going to lose it. When you lose it, just bring it back. Because being, presence, stillness, this is always with you. It's always accessible. Bring it back. Every minute or moment you spend berating yourself or judging yourself for why you lost it or analyzing why you lost it is yet another moment. You're not being. It's yet another moment you're not in the presence of presence. So when you lose it, just bring it back. Just keep bringing it back. And slowly, 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 that'll become a place, a state that you live in more and more.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM-FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Join us here on the holy banks of Mother Ganga. In the lap of the towering and beautiful Himalayas for our annual International Yoga Festival, taking place from March 1st to March 7th every year. Come join your global yoga family in a true union of yourself with your divine self. We look forward to welcoming you all. You can go to the website on www.internationalyogafestival.org. Look forward to welcoming you all home to the banks of Mother Ganga.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Alaya, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me. How does one develop patience, especially when on the spiritual path? We start our journey with the realization that we've been in darkness all these years and lifetimes. And now, despite our conviction, despite our commitments, we seem to be making no progress, or maybe some at a snail's pace. Yeah, welcome to the human condition. And there's really two aspects here. One is our spiritual practice, and the other is our interaction with our spiritual practice. And they're really different. Our interaction with our spiritual practice is I interact with it pretty much the way I interact with everything. And so if in my life, one of my identities, one of the clothes on me, is I'm never good enough. I'm never smart enough. No matter what I do, it's never enough. And a lot of us have this complex. I know I do. I never go to sleep at night feeling like, oh, well, thank God everything is done. There's always a sense of, my God, really, this was all I could accomplish today? You know, okay, maybe tomorrow I'll be able to do more. If only I didn't have to sleep, if only I didn't need to eat, if only I didn't need to bathe, if only then I could be of more service. You love someone. You want to give to them. There's always a sense. This is where, especially in India, but definitely not exclusively India, you eat at a table, and whoever's feeding you, particularly if it's the mother, you're never allowed to be done. You know, I mean, it's chapati after chapati after chapati after chapati, and it doesn't matter how much you've eaten. It's never enough, because It's an expression of love. And she's wanting to serve you. That's how so many people, women in particular, are trained on a very deep level. This is how we show love. We feed. And so the food becomes love. And because I love you, well, yeah, you better eat more chapatis because, like, this is my love. And so there's never enough. It doesn't matter how much you eat. I'm never going to feel like, oh, thank God. I'm always going to wish, oh, God, maybe I should have made that. He could have had a little more of this. He really liked that. There probably wasn't enough salt in this. So on some level, many of us live with a pretty pervasive sense of not being quite good enough, not quite enough, not quite able to do what we'd like to do as well as we'd like to do it, whether in quantity or in quality. And so since that's how we interact with the world, our spiritual practice is part of our world. And so you embark on a spiritual path, and yeah, I'm not moving fast enough. It's not happening fast enough. And interestingly, if you've actually been graced and blessed with a very profound spiritual experience, you can't get back there. You can't get back there quickly enough. You can't make it last long enough. It dissipates too quickly. You want it to last longer, and then it's gone, and then it takes too long to get it back. And it doesn't matter whether the too long is 3 minutes or 3 years. However long it may be for you, it feels like too long. And so that's one aspect, and this is where it's so important on every level to just always keep reminding ourselves we are enough. And whether it's in doing our work or feeding our loved ones or doing our spiritual practice, whatever it is, wherever it is, as long as we're sincere about it. There's a beautiful saint who comes every year to our International Yoga Festival named Pujasri Shankaracharyaji, and he's one of the very highest seats in the Hindu tradition. And one of the things that he always emphasizes is the importance simply of sincerity. That it's not about how much, it's about how sincere. And that's really what matters much more than anything. And on our yogic path, on our spiritual path, is it's our sincerity. How sincerely am I doing it? So whether I'm meditating, whether I'm doing seva, whether I'm chanting, whatever I'm doing as my spiritual practice, A, I'm enough, therefore it's enough. And B, the crucial aspect is my sincerity. So it's not about how far, it's not a race, any of it, but especially our spiritual path. It's not how far, it's not how high, it's not how much. It's how sincere. How connected am I to what I'm doing? How fully am I present with what am I doing? How connected to the purpose of what I'm doing? So that's the general I interact with my spiritual path, the way I interact with everything. But then very specifically, when we feel like we're not making progress, a lot of times this happens because the mind is the one, we've talked a lot about the mind, but the mind really is the medium through which we have to go, like it or not. As I said last night, it's your Siamese twin, it's there. And so even if it's a state of expanded consciousness, a state of samadhi, I'm experiencing it through my mind. If you removed my brain, I would not have that experience. if you put me into one of those machines with, you know, different areas of my brain being stimulated by probes, I would be having a completely different experience. If you gave me drugs, chemicals that altered my brain, I would be having a completely different experience. So while our enlightenment, our consciousness, certainly does not live in our brain or mind, that's the medium through which we experience it. The same way that Hari Om does not exist in my eyes, but my eyes are the medium through which I experience his existence. If I close my eyes, unless he speaks, I have no way of knowing he exists. Now, obviously, my eyes don't impact his existence, but they impact my ability to experience his existence. They impact my ability to interact with his existence. They impact his existence's ability to change me. So in the same way, our spiritual path and the progress we experience, the revelations we have, the experiences we have, our mind is still the medium through which we experience that. And yet, the mind is the greatest obstacle. Because actually the mind operates in separateness. The mind thinks about things, so the mind has to hold everything at an arm's length and look at it. Whereas spirituality is about breaking the separation between me and the divine, me and the creator, me and the creation, me and everything. But I've got to go through my mind. And so depending on the sanskaras or the patterns of my mind, I'm going to experience my spiritual path in a different way. There are some people who just by nature or by nurture, depending on how they were raised, but who by the time they've come to a path, it's all a sum total. Nature, nurture, it's all come together, whether it's their genes or whether it's their environment or whether it's their past karma, whatever it is, it's come into the sum total of right here, right now, this is you. And for some of us, we have brains that are very, very active. Some people have brains, minds that are much stiller. And we just, you know this about people's personality. And it's a lot easier to find stillness in a place where there was already stillness. It's going to be quicker. Because in order to experience any of it, we have to be able to quiet the mind. And the faster the mind is running, the more, I don't like the word effort because it implies this sort of strenuous perspiration, but the more attention, the more intention, the more sincerity we're going to have to put into bringing the mind still enough so that I can actually have an experience that is beyond my mind, an experience beyond separation, an experience of oneness. So don't worry if you feel like you're not making any progress. First of all, you are, for sure. Second of all, this is a practice. It's a path. It's not about black and white. Every day, you should feel closer to God. You should feel closer to your true self. And if you're not, if you're really not, despite your spiritual practice, then this is where sometimes, you know, a little bit of psychology comes in. I've got an academic background in psychology and came to India and had an incredible spiritual experience and sort of forsook psychology for a while. And then over the course of the last 20 plus years, have actually realized that it too plays a very important role because a lot of times that which blocks us, it's our mind, But it's stuff that we need to look at. And it's not stuff, sadly, that you can just meditate away. And by not looking at it, it keeps, every time you get still, it keeps coming back. And there it is, you know, it's the elephant in the room. And this is where some psychology comes in, all right? What is it? What is it that's blocking me? What aspect of my mind? Because we're all made up of it in slightly different proportions. So there's anger, there's ego, there's jealousy, there's sense of not enoughness, there's fear, there's so many different aspects of the mind. There's the walls we build to protect ourselves that actually end up suffocating us. We all have different ways we move through the world. And knowing what your way is, being able to really look at it, helps you dismantle it. A lot of times, simply honestly looking at it is enough to help it dissipate. And if not, there's all sorts of other practices, you know, that you can go into. The practice for me that's been very, very, very powerful is a practice of ritual. Literally, giving it. Okay, God, you put it there, I'm giving it back to you, please. Thank you for it. It's taught me so much over these years. Thank you for it. It's gotten me here. But I don't need it anymore. Now it's blocking me. Can I give it back? Will you take it? And the answer is always yes. If you give it sincerely, the answer is always yes. And while you're here on the banks of Ganga, Ganga always takes it. I mean, that's what Ganga does. Ganga washes away. You know, typically people come to wash away past karma. Whether it's previous lifetimes, whether it's this lifetime, whatever it is, just offer it to her. This is blocking me. This is preventing me from living in the light. These are the curtains on my window. I know the sun is shining, but these curtains are on my window. This dirt is on my window. I offer it to you. And it'll happen. Slowly, 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 or by God's grace, quickly. Either way, it'll happen for sure. Because it is our true self. Just like when we were talking about Hari Om in his bath, he could take off his clothes as slowly as he wants. But eventually he's going to get naked. Eventually he'll be ready for the bath. And so don't worry about how long it takes you to get them off. As long as you're moving in the right direction, you're going to get there.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Join us here on the holy banks of Mother Ganga, in the lap of the towering and beautiful Himalayas, for our annual International Yoga Festival, taking place from March 1st to March 7th every year. Come join your global yoga family in a true union of yourself with your divine self. We look forward to welcoming you all. You can go to the website on www.internationalyogafestival.org. Look forward to welcoming you all home to the banks of Mother Ganga.
you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mike Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation. Can you fully accept the present moment and also be unhappy about it? Or is that the ego being unhappy? Okay, I'm going to repeat that because it's actually a very wonderful, deep question. It says, can you fully accept the present moment? Because we speak a lot about acceptance. Can you accept the present moment, but also be unhappy about it? Or is it the ego being unhappy? What I really like about that question, actually, is that when we talk about acceptance in the spiritual world, it gets misinterpreted sometimes into a belief that if I accept something, it means it's okay. It means I don't want to change it. It is a license, therefore, to inaction. So, for example, there's poverty in the world. There's a lot of suffering in the world. You know, we could turn on the news and ruin most of our moods and find out, you know, what's going on in different parts of the world. Most of us already know it. I'm not happy about that. It doesn't make me happy that trees are being cut down in the Amazon. It doesn't make me happy that species are going extinct. Come on in. It doesn't make me happy that children are starving. The goal of a spiritual practice is not that you should become okay with all of that so that you can stay in your experience of joy or bliss and just let the rest of the world, you know, collapse. That's not the highest spiritual purpose. And so I like the question because it gives us an opportunity to get into some of the subtleties of what do we mean by acceptance. When my guru, Pooja Swamiji, says, don't expect, accept. Okay? Well, he's someone who from morning till night, 7 days a week, 365 days a year is working for others. So clearly accept doesn't mean accept that people are going to keep suffering and dying because the water is bad, accept that the trees are going to keep getting cut down, accept that poor people are going to keep suffering. So what does it mean? What it means is that we accept it as in this moment, in this intersection of time and space, right here, this is how it is. What acceptance means simply is I'm in line with the truth of the moment. In this moment, people are suffering. In this moment, people are dying. For me not to accept it is for me to step out of alignment with the truth of that moment. If I don't accept it, Well, I'm no longer in line with truth because it's happening. Whether I accept it or not, it's happening. And if I say I don't accept that, it's rejecting an unchangeable reality about this very moment. I spoke last night about, you know, the little girl on the TV show I used to watch when I was young who would rub her nose and be able to magically make things happen. And we don't have that. And sadly, we can't do this and make poverty disappear and make hunger disappear and make what's happening, you know, make women dying in childbirth disappear. We can't do that. And so we really, in this very moment, only have two options. Accept it or be miserable. I cannot change this exact moment. In order to have this moment be different, I would have to rewind life. I would have had to redo the last hours, days, weeks, years differently. And since I can't do that, I have no choice but to accept the present moment. The refusal to do that is just saying, okay, I'm going to live in my miserable, you know, fantasy world. Because it is a fantasy. If I don't accept the reality, it's fantasy, good or bad. But that accepting of the present moment is for the very important reason of being in alignment with truth. It's also for the very important reason of being in peace. Because if I'm not accepting something right now, I can't sit in peace. Whether it's the world situation, whether it's what the people in front of me are doing, whether it's how people are speaking, whether it's the guy across from me who's eating with his mouth open, you know, from the smallest and most mundane to the biggest, my lack of acceptance of what's happening this moment prevents me from being in peace. And me being in peace is crucial for two reasons. The first, of course, is obvious. That's the point. We're supposed to be in peace. We're peaceful beings. The core of who we are is peace. That's what we're all striving to go back to. The source, the core, the truth, the soul, the spirit, the divine, whatever word we use, it's peace. That is who we are. That is what we touch when we meditate, when we go within. So that's the deepest core of who you are, which is one of the reasons it's so important to access it. But the other reason it's so important to access it is so that I can change tomorrow or next week or next year, so that I can actually be an efficient and effective agent of change. If I'm not in peace, all I'm doing is reacting. And when I'm reacting, particularly reacting in stress, I'm not effective. And so if I'm unhappy with the way things are in the world, as basically anybody who's awake on any level, from the lowest level, just literally as in your breathing, to the highest level, should be. I mean, really, if you're awake and alive today, there's lots of things to be unhappy about in the world. It's good. It gives us things to do every day. Keeps us busy. There's plenty to do to address the things that make us unhappy in the world. We can't address all of them. For some, we're going to work on poverty. For some, we'll work on hunger. For some, we'll work on water, sanitation, hygiene. For some, we're going to work on women's issues. Whatever it may be. But there there really should be something for everyone to be unhappy about enough that it's a catalyst for you to do some work for it. But that doesn't mean that you're not in peace. And this is where the subtle distinction, but it's crucial, because if I'm working because I'm agitated, if I'm working because I'm upset, if I'm working because I'm restless, I'm not going to be able to effectively help the situation, because all I'm going to bring to the situation is upset and restlessness and frustration and anger. So my acceptance is of this very moment, this breath, cannot rewind it. Right here, right now, it's all exactly as it should be. And we know that because that's how it is. And we accept it. And in the moment, we're also aware of things that, should we have a magic wand? Or even should we have skills and abilities? Or extra financial resources? Or whatever we may have that can be put to use for the world, we're going to use them. So accepting on a deep core spiritual level and condoning are not the same thing. We accept how it is. That's in this moment, this is where we are. That doesn't mean we condone it. There's a lot of things going on we don't condone. We then work to change them as much as we can, as effectively, efficiently, egolessly as we can, which of course means from a place of peace and acceptance.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin, with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip or the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation. You consider it important because you identify with it. And this is where, in order to let go of the identifications, this is where, when we talked about yesterday about the different paths of yoga and, you know, the Gyan Yoga path, which is the path of wisdom or knowledge, it's so important because I have to first know I'm not the false self before I can have an experience of not being the false self. I have to go in somewhere, and there has to first be an awareness, even if it's just intellectual. But there has to first be the awareness, I'm not the body. I'm not the false identities. I'm not my ego. I'm not my fears. I'm not all of my sanskaras or my neuronal networks or however we think about it. So I have to at least first know that intellectually. And only then am I going to even be able to step into an experience of that. Only then can I meditate on the idea of I'm not the identities. And the minute that we accept, even if I haven't experienced, but we accept theoretically at least, that I'm not those identities, our whole way of thinking about them shifts. So I get in the car to leave the office and my brain is doing this. Again, he stole my project. Again, I was supposed to be the one, you know, who was going to get the credit for it. Again, he put his name on it and went to the boss and, you know, got all the credit. Or again, I worked so hard on something and nobody appreciated it. Or again, our competitor came out with the same thing that we were inventing and somebody must have tipped them off because, you know, otherwise it was inconceivable and it's so unfair and all this the stuff. So the brain is doing that. That's its habit. That's what it's always done. But now that you know that that's not who you are, then there's another aspect of you that comes in and says, wait. I don't want to go there. That's the voice that comes in and says, wait, let me chant my mantra instead. I don't have a mantra. Let me chant Om. Let me chant any mantra I know. Let me contemplate on the fact that I'm not this body. You can do it with your eyes open, driving a car just as easily as you can do it with your eyes closed. So what you've done, even though you haven't yet had that experience, is the awareness, the knowledge, is enough to start shifting your patterns of behavior, enough to start shifting your habits. So even though the mind is having those thoughts, you're not disturbed by them. You're able to look at them and understand, oh, those are just my habits. Truth is, this isn't important. I mean, if I am my career, then yeah, it's important. But if I know that I'm not, then actually what's much more important is experiencing who I am. You know, there's a great, great story of a spiritual seeker who says to his guru, you know, I want to experience God, but it's just not coming. I'm meditating, I'm trying, but it's just not coming. And he said, you know, I find my mind wandering a lot and I'm thinking about other things. And the guru takes him to a lake and holds his head underwater. Keeps it there until the guy is literally thrashing around. And finally, because it's, you know, the guru and not a murderer, he lets him up and the guy comes up and he's, you know, like you could imagine, you've been suffocated underwater. And the guru said, did you have any other thoughts during that time? Were you thinking about anything other than, I've got to get air, I've got to get air, I've got to get air? And the guy was like, of course not, I was dying. And the guru said, exactly. But what we don't realize the rest of the time is we're dying. We're dying spiritually. But only when you want God, the way that you want breath when you're being suffocated, then you don't need a mantra to get the other thoughts out of your mind. There are no other thoughts. And this is where the practice of introspection comes in. When I realize, where am I losing myself? Then suddenly, much more important than who said what in the office, much more important than who's stealing whose ideas or whose projects or whatnot, becomes experiencing God, like getting breath. So just keep reminding yourself of that. Contemplate on it, such that when you sit to meditate, that becomes like someone gasping for air. This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week, and I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on Om Times Radio.